WCCP.
You know how we roll.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, commercial.
It is out of here.
105.5
The Roar.
Get jazzy on that flight that you get on. International. First class seat on my lap, girl. Bright and comfortable. Cause I know what that girl them need. New York to Haiti. Stamps on my passport. You make it hard to leave. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me.
Hour three, Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. In about 20 minutes from now, it'll be Andrew Whitman, GetWorryTough.com, joining us. Talk a little mental toughness, a little leadership as we get through the world of sports off of vacation. Should be a lot of fun for him. All right, so Florida State, Seminole 10 made some good points. If you think they're winning that first game, it's hard to find losses the rest of the schedule. I feel like the floor for Florida State, there's not a whole lot of iffy games. The absolute floor for Florida State is kind of where it is for Clemson, but I think Clemson's schedule is a little more difficult.
You think Clemson's schedule is significantly more difficult than Florida State's?
No, and in fact, I'm thinking about the Auburn game and the Alabama game, and I'm not even sure about that right now. I'm not sure that Clemson's schedule is more difficult than Florida State's. So, they're about the same.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. If you talk about Florida State and Clemson both play two SEC teams out of conference, I would say Florida State gets the tougher duo in Bama and Florida over Auburn and South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Florida State has to go to Clemson. Clemson has to go to Louisville. I would say going to Clemson is more difficult atmosphere-wise.
Yeah.
So that's tougher for Florida State. And then out of the coastal, Clemson draws Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. That's tough. And Florida State draws Miami, as always, and Duke. So I say Clemson has the edge on its coastal opponents. But every other aspect, I think Florida State has a tougher schedule.
Florida State may very well have a tougher schedule. And here's an interesting thing about their program. Last year, you know, they went 3-2 in games decided by single digits. Their three wins were all on the road. They won by one at Miami. Remember that, the extra point. They won by four at NC State, 24-20. And they won by one against Michigan in the Orange Bowl, which isn't a road game, but it was away from home. Their two losses in games decided by single digits were North Carolina and Clemson at home. They lost by a combined 5 points.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So they actually went on the road and won tough games, and they lost tough games at home last year.
Besides in Louisville, Kentucky. But the rest of that, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If the game was close. So they got basically beat to death immediately in that Louisville game. So there was, you know, a lot of things about that were a little bit quirky. And we can't pretend that was the rule. It was more the exception of what happened last year. If the game was close for 60 minutes and it was on the road last year or away from home, Florida State won it. And if it was close and it was at home, Florida State lost it.
Can I respond real quick? We've had two texts, okay? And we're talking about Florida State. And my comment that, you know, it's kind of Florida State's turn. Clemson's carried the league the past 2 years in terms of producing a contender that can make the playoff, that can carry the mantle as the best team in the league. And I say it's now Florida State's turn. And we get texts. One says, Florida State carried this league for many consecutive years. Kelly, come on. And another one, I'm a Clemson grad, but come on, FSU carried the ACC from 1990 to 2014. Those are both true. In our discussion, we're discussing the reputation of the ACC in 2017. So under that umbrella, am I wrong?
No.
It's Florida State's turn to step up. Clemson has been the most important catalyst for the ACC's reputation the past two seasons. And now I think it's Florida State's turn to help. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm aware of the history. Okay?
By the way, to say Florida State carried the league from 1990 to 2014 is to ignore two relevant facts. Number one, they didn't join the league in 1990. It was 92. Number two, there was a period in there in the mid-2000s when they didn't carry anybody anywhere. If they were carrying me in 2000-whatever, then I've got brain trauma issues because they dropped me. I mean, if Florida State was carrying the ACC in the mid-2000s, then how did Wake Forest win a division title?
Yeah.
How did Wake Forest play Kansas in the Orange Bowl? Wake Forest played Kansas in the Orange Bowl.
Gosh.
Yeah, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech was probably the worst.
That seems like
probably
ages
the worst
ago.
League title game. Oh, yeah. It happened. How did Maryland win the league in the early 2000s? Florida State was carrying the league.
Virginia Tech was probably the most consistent.
Florida State has carried the league in pockets, but to say they did it from 92 to 14 just leaves out like half of that time where they didn't carry anybody anywhere except, again, falling on their head with brain trauma issues in a study at Stanford right now trying to figure out what concussions do to the brain. That's how you felt if Florida State was carrying you in the 2000s.
And, I mean, Florida State people, I mean, and this guy says he's a Clemson grad, so he's not necessarily a Florida State fan, but they always want to bring up the past, and I'm good with the past. But we're talking about the future here. We're talking about this coming season. So, you know, Chris Winkie has no effect on this season. That's basically my point.
Correct. Peter Warwick's not walking through the door. Lawrence Timmons isn't walking through the door. The Boer family, not the Ben Boer family,
but the
Peter Boer family.
Bobby Bowden's not walking through the door.
Mickey Andrews isn't walking through the door. Sorry. Not happening.
But I will say, if the ACC wants to stay where it has been this year, the year before, realistically, it has to be Clemson or Florida State competing for a national title year in and year out, because you can't really rely on any other school to do it. You might get lucky with Louisville like they did in the first half of the year last year. You might get lucky with Virginia Tech. You might get lucky with Miami. But if you want to be consistent and produce a contender year in and year out, it has to be Florida State or Clemson. And knowing what Clemson is losing this year, it has to be Florida State, we think. Now, look, Hunter Johnson could be an absolute barn burner, and it could change things. But looking from a bird's eye view right now, it's got to be Florida State.
Moving on to Miami, you asked me about Miami, what I think Miami will do this year. I think they're going to win the Coastal. So because I think they're going to win the Coastal, I'm giving them a tick up because they didn't win the Coastal last year. Now, that essentially means that they're changing places with Virginia Tech. And if we give Virginia Tech a little tick down, I'm giving Miami a little tick up. I think that's fair and logical way to do it.
It's very tough with Miami because the quarterback situation is so uncertain. We just don't know.
We don't.
But I mean, they return Mark Walton. He's one of the best running backs in the country, I would say. They return an offensive line with more than 100 starts. So, I mean, can they ground and pound and win 10 games that way? Probably. I would think so, even if they have a quarterback who's much more of a game manager. And they also have some really good wide receivers coming back. And it's year 2, Mark Richt. I think that the stock is looking up for Miami. Stock up to Miami, as you would say, Quack.
And maybe it's stock down to everybody else in the Coastal, but
maybe so.
If Miami wins the division, they're going to have to be a little bit better than they were last. Last year's team is not going to win the division this year, I don't think.
I will say, though, that I think Miami has an easier schedule this year.
Miami's schedule is not very tough because their only tough road game against a team that is tough for them is at Florida State.
And like you said, UNC is going backwards. Pittsburgh's going backwards. Notre Dame is not what we thought they were at the beginning of last season. So those games look easier. Virginia Tech's taking a step back. So those games that looked more troublesome for Miami last year look a little easier this year in 2017.
All right, North Carolina was also 5-3. This is a plummet to the death. This is like jump off a cliff and never look back. This is horrible. I mean, North Carolina is terrible. They're going to go 4-8 or 5-7. I don't even see a path to a bowl game for North Carolina right now. I feel like North Carolina, like I remember I said South Carolina wasn't going to a bowl game. They went 3-9. That's kind of how I feel about North Carolina. They don't have the horses to be able to do that unless Brandon Harris really is a much better player than LSU allowed him to be. That's the only thing I could see that gets North Carolina over any kind of hump to a bowl bid. I mean, this is the school that is going to, when it drops like an anchor, the ACC is going to have some counterweight.
Yeah. This is how I feel about UNC's upcoming season.
Yeah, rough.
Doom is on the horizon. You know, that. Like you said, unless Brandon Harris is suddenly a brand new human being, you're counting on him to, I mean, at least compete for your starting job. That's scary. And if you look at all the receivers they lost, obviously lost Mitchell Trubisky and all those guys, I don't see it being a great year for UNC. I see a major step backwards for the Tar Heels.
The other 5-3 team is Pittsburgh. Now, Brett Freelander loves Pittsburgh. He talked about Pittsburgh last year. I don't love Pittsburgh. And you remember this. I had a lot of respect for Pittsburgh a year ago. If not for the schedule, I might have picked Pittsburgh in the preseason to win the division. And I think they achieved about what I thought they would achieve this past year. They're going down. Now, to what extent they go down is a little bit different. I'm going to say not quite as much as North Carolina. They're going to make a bowl game. And it's not like they won 10 games last year. They still went 8-5. So if they go 7-5 in the regular season or whatnot, I feel like that's not a substantial step back that the ACC can't recover from. A year ago, they finished 8-4 and 5-3 in league. If you think they're going 7-5, 4-4, something like that, that's not a big step. That's a tiny step down for Pittsburgh, even if the talent level on the roster and the way they look on the field is very different than that.
For me with Pittsburgh, it all comes down to how good is Max Brown. Can he take over the reins quickly? He's a graduate transfer from Southern Cal. Can he step in and be as good as Nathan Peterman was last year? Peterman was kind of an underappreciated quarterback in the ACC. He was very solid. And when you think back on Pittsburgh last year, first thing that comes to mind is the win over Clemson and the win over Penn State. And so you associate, oh, those are two great wins. How many games did they win again? Oh, yeah, 8. You know, and they lost their bowl game. So I think those memories, those two games, give you a kind of a better version of Pittsburgh than what they really were last year. So I'm with you, Kwok. I think Pittsburgh takes a slight step back. You lose James Conner. You lose a guy you can count on in Peterman. I think they take a little bit of a step back.
Not quite the counterweight to North Carolina, but I think the team to watch in the Coastal is Georgia Tech.
I agree completely.
Georgia Tech is a team to watch. In fact, George Peeberdell. Do you know who George Peeberdell is? You know the story about George Peeberdell?
I know he texted us.
You need to look up, Google George Peeberdell during the break. It's a great story. It's an urban legend at Georgia Tech. But he texted us. 986-156 is on the text line. He says, you guys don't think Georgia Tech has a good chance in the Coastal this year? I picked them to finish second. The league picked them to finish third. I picked them to finish second. I think the only thing that they have that Miami doesn't is, number one, Mark Richt kind of like always beats Georgia Tech. Last year, Tech lost to Miami by 2 touchdowns. And then on the other hand, schedule-wise, they have to go to Miami. They have to go to Clemson. And they really don't get a whole lot of breaks like some others do. They got to play Tennessee in that first game, which is fine. They're gonna win that one. But they don't get the breaks that others do with their Atlantic schedule. They get Wake Forest, but they still have to play Clemson. Meanwhile, Miami in the Atlantic, they got to play at Florida State. But their Coastal schedule is a little more favorable. And they got to go to Pittsburgh at the end. But other than that, they really don't have any big stumbling blocks there. They get to play Syracuse as their other game. So I'm saying Georgia Tech is maybe a 9-win type team, 8 or 9 wins, slightly better than last year, but contending rather than being buried behind those 5-3s.
So slight uptick for you.
Slight uptick for Georgia Tech, yeah.
I agree. I think really Georgia Tech and Miami are my only two teams in the Coastal that I'm saying they're going in the right direction. Duke is one that, because they were so bad last year, you'd think Duke will improve a little bit, but they just aren't really on my radar, to be honest.
We'll get to them because Duke and Virginia were the two worst teams in the ACC. That essentially gets us through. That gets us through 8 of the 14. We've gone through the upper half. If you draw a line between Pittsburgh and Georgia Tech, we've gone through the upper half of the league. And so far, we've got two teams trending in a positive direction. We've got three teams trending in a negative direction, and North Carolina plummeting down into the depths. So that one's a big drop. So in essence, the top half of your league, you think that the trajectory is going to be at least slightly down for more than half of those teams. It's going to take a pretty big effort from the bottom half of the league to be able to fix it.
And that's one thing the ACC was kind of bragging about last year was their depth. So is the depth real? I mean, can you allow some of these teams that are in your second or third or fourth tiers of your league actually improve, actually make bowl games, maybe win a good non-conference game? You'd love to see the depth sustain. You need to sustain that depth for the ACC to continue to claim to be one of the best conferences in the country.
Let's try to get a couple more if we can before we get to Andrew. NC State is next. NC State went 3-5, 7-6 in league, or 7-6 overall, 3-5 in league, should say, last year. I'm going to say an uptick there, but we know, well, first of all, for me, I think that with Doran, there's always a lower ceiling than there should be. I don't see him taking a team anywhere. The other thing is, when you're in a division with Florida State, Clemson, and Louisville, if you don't beat two of the three of those and then clean up on the rest of your schedule, you're capped at like 9 wins. So it's going to be hard to take a mega step up for them. And it's also going to be hard to stay right where they are because they're too talented. They return too many pieces. So I see them going like 4-4, maybe even 5-3 in league, but not contending for the championship. So small step up for NC State.
Step up for NC State.
Yeah.
And I would take the small out. And I know it's hard for you to be subjective with NC State because you hate Doran so much. But I don't see how you cannot look at NC State and say they will be improved. And you look at all the close games they lost last year. 6 losses by 7 points or less. You've got to think some of those will go in their favor. I love their front four. Ryan Finley, say what you want about him, but he's experienced. That's more than NC State can say. You know, NC State can say they have an experienced quarterback. Not many ACC teams can really say that. So I think it's definitely going to be a step up for NC State.
Let's find the wins. I have a hard time finding wins with NC State. Now, some of these are coin flip games. But like South Carolina, I think they win that.
Mm-hmm.
That opener. They're going to be favored. I think that's a double-digit game. 14, 17 points. Marshall at home, that's a win. Furman?
Win.
At Florida State.
Loss, but I think that's a toss-up. I hate that it's in Tallahassee, but Florida State and NC State, they always play close games.
They do.
It's just a thing between those two schools. So I'll say loss.
Syracuse?
Win.
Louisville?
They get Louisville at home, but they got stomped on by Louisville last year.
Yeah, they did. 54-13.
Do you think, how about this, of Florida State, Louisville, and Clemson, do you think NC State gets one win out of those three? I think they get one win.
I think if I'm looking at their schedule, I'm not giving Clemson a loss going there. I'm just not. I think Clemson's better than them. They're better coach. They're going to win a close game. I think they split Louisville and Clemson.
Okay, so you at least give them one win against Atlantic foes.
Yeah.
The top three Atlantic foes.
And then what bothers me about them is they got 6 games away from home. You know, you got the neutral side game against South Carolina, but then you're at Florida State. You got to play at Pittsburgh, which that's not a gimme. They should win that. That's not a gimme. At Notre Dame on October 28th. We expect Notre Dame to be better, don't we?
I guess.
Better than 3-9. Speaking of losing.
They were 4-8.
They lost close game, whatever what. They lost close game after close game after close game last year. That's going to turn around. The math's going to turn that around.
Well, something's got to give them because NC State lost a lot of close games as well.
Notre Dame, they beat Notre Dame 10-3 in the monsoon last year.
Yeah, they did.
NC State did.
I'll give them a split with at Pittsburgh, at Notre Dame.
Okay. So that's, one. Let's just say they lose. And at that point, if they lose the Louisville game and then lose at Pittsburgh, they're looking at 3 out of 4 losses going to Notre Dame after a bye week. That's a pivotal game.
I have 9 wins for NC State.
9 wins?
Because, okay, South Carolina, Marshall, Furman, those are wins.
Yeah.
Syracuse is their 4th win. They beat either Clemson or Louisville, so that's 5. Their 5th win.
Yeah.
They beat either Pitt or Notre Dame, that's their 6th win. They win at BC, they win at Wake, and I think they beat Chapel
North
Hill.
Carolina. So that's 9 wins.
That's 9. At least 8.
What does that mean for
them? And that would be a step up.
That would be a step up. What does that mean for them?
Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
See, that's my point with NC State. You could be significantly better, but you're capped. Like, that ceiling in your division is capped.
But that's my point. Still, I don't care. NC State wins 8 or 9 games. They go to the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. That is still a step in the right direction for the ACC's depth. That's my point.
I don't disagree with that.
So that would be a good thing for the conference.
The other 3-5 team is Wake. 6-6 type team last year. Are they going to be a 6-6 type team this year?
Yeah. To me, that's Wake's ceiling. You make it.
Six and six.
You get to a bowl game and you win it.
That's fine.
That's good. That's stable. What we want from you, Wake. Just do that. Just do that.
That's it. We'll do the rest of this when we come back. We've got to somehow spend time on Duke and Virginia.
Do we have to?
I think we at least have to spend some words.
Maybe
some verbiage.
15 seconds each.
That'll be all right. Hey, listen, business owners. If your business depends on reliable, medium, heavy-duty commercial trucks, if you're tired of wasting time and money taking your commercial truck in for service and repair, if you've lost business because your truck's broken down and you got no way to get to it, do your business a big favor. Call Advanced Maintenance in Greenville. They come to you. That's right. Right to you. Their on-site service technicians are equipped to service, repair, and maintain your fleet. That keeps your business moving. They also do preventative maintenance to keep your trucks on the road and not on the side of it. They offer emergency roadside services, on-site DOT inspections, free maintenance management of all your trucks. All that keeps your trucks running, and it keeps you compliant. They do it the next day or sometimes even the same day. So it's pretty quick turnaround for those of you who need those trucks on the road. No minimum service requirements, no contracts for you, just a peace of mind knowing Advanced Maintenance is managing and servicing your fleet. They even do box truck and trailer repairs, so take advantage of that as well. I don't know why you wouldn't get in touch with these folks at Advanced Maintenance. Call the number that comes to you, 422-5787. That's 422-5787, 422-5787. Short break, one phone call, and then Andrew Whitman when we return next.
If you want to watch a World Series that actually includes the world, go to Easley this week. The Senior League World Series hosts the best 13 to 16-year-old players from Australia, Canada, America, and all over. For tickets, go to slbws.org.
Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson on Highway 123 gets your vehicle clean and dry in about 3 minutes. Tiger Express Car Wash is an extreme, high-sensory car wash experience with a jungle theme that kids love. Tiger Express offers monthly packages and a 24-hour rain guarantee. Tiger Express Car Wash in Clemson always has free vacuums and microfiber towels for your convenience. Visit Tiger Express Car Wash on the web or like us on Facebook. Tiger Express, next to the Pizza Hut in Clemson.
Need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
Spectrum Business is the best internet and voice for business with faster internet and superior voice for less. Plus, no contracts, no taxes, and no hidden fees. So switch to Spectrum Business today. Head to Bojangles for 8 pieces of chicken for $10.99 and get 4 free biscuits.
Are you looking for a 1-carat diamond under $3,000? I have good news. We have some, and they're worth taking a look at. I have access to diamonds in all prices, all qualities, and from all over the world. Tell me what you're looking for, and if I don't have it, I'll find it for you. And you take a look and see what you think. I can get in one diamond, I can get in a dozen diamonds. And yes, it really is that easy. We have financing available for almost any budget, including 12 months no interest. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson, and I want to be your jeweler.
One of college football's greatest traditions happens at every Clemson home game. The players run down the hill and into the valley, everyone rubbing Howard's Rock to the excitement of Clemson fans everywhere. What you wouldn't know is that Howard's Rock has its own security system from Blue Ridge Security Solutions. The Rock is worth protecting, and these are the same people that protect my home too. I'm Dabo Sweeney from Blue Ridge Security Solutions.
BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Serious security. 888-407-SAFE.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wayne from The Vault. Well, it's time for some football. Make The Vault your one-stop sports apparel shopping destination. We have NFL and college shipments arriving daily with a large selection for men, ladies, and kids. And right now, we have a great summer special going. Buy 2 shirts, then get a hat or shirt half price. We're located in Greenville on North Main Street, across from the Hyatt. Or visit us online at FaultRetroSports.com.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like 2 for Tuesday. Buy one roll and get the second half price. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Do you have standing water around your home? Well, it's probably also underneath your home. Standing water and musty air can cause damage to your home and affect the air you breathe. Canty Foundation Specialists can help you correct these problems. Standing water causes wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew. Call Canty Foundation Specialists for drier, cleaner air and a more comfortable home all year long. 475-1671 or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Okay, good luck with the slow descent into madness.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
I'm more than just an option.
Hey.
Refuse to be forgotten.
Hey.
All right, welcome back. Hour three continues. One quick phone call before we get to Andrew Whitman talking a little leadership, mental toughness with us. Hunter in Clemson joins us next. Hunter, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Hey, man, quick question. I'm a Clemson fan, been a Clemson fan all my life. And I was just wondering if we were up at NC State because we almost lost to them last year. I mean, we were awesome, you know, but I just wondered if we're kind of up at NC State because, you know, they almost crushed us.
Well, I think some of that is true, Hunter. If you look at NC State last year, they got bludgeoned to death a couple times, but they lost by three at ECU. They lost, obviously, in overtime against Clemson. They lost by seven against BC, by four against Florida State. And they return almost everybody. I mean, they return 16 starters. Their front four is one of the best in the country. Their offense is loaded, at least experience-wise. They've got versatility with guys like Jalen Samuels and Nyheim Hines. And they've got an offensive scheme that lets them distribute the ball. So there's a lot to like about NC State, I think, at least to a certain extent. Now, I don't think they're going to compete at the top of the Atlantic to win it. I'm not that sold on them. And I don't think Dave Doran's a very good coach. I have my doubts about him. But that's why people are high on him. And I do think at Clemson, we have that thing where they play better against us than they did against most everybody else. And so we did see them play at their best, and we factor that in. I do think that's true.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Hunter. Thanks for the phone call. Good stuff. He's right about that. We do. We always overvalue the guy that we see kill us. We see that in pro sports sometimes where teams will sign a player that killed them for more money than probably they would have gotten on the open market because they'd rather not have to face him anymore. And he turns out to be not quite as good. Maybe that would have happened anyway, but maybe it's that somebody factored in a little too, you know, a little bit of a weird sample size of information. It's probably the best way of saying that.
After last season, I was convinced that Jake Coker was an All-American after 2015. So I totally agree with that.
O.J. Howard, best tight end that's ever played.
Oh, for sure. For sure. James Conner, Nathan Peterman,
uh-huh.
All-Americans.
Oh, yeah. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. Andrew Whitman, GetWarriorTough.com, the Get Warrior Tough program. Oh, this is a great one. Dan Uggla. The Braves signed Dan Uggla to like a $80 million deal over 4 years or something because he hit like almost 400 against the Braves and then was hideous. That's a great point, Texter. Well done to 706. Now we'll get to Andrew, who's been on vacation, is back with us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, it's good to be Dan. If you get $80 million for underperforming, I mean.
Oh, that's right. No, all you got to do is just perform really, really well against one team, and that team will sign you for an exorbitant amount of money. That happens quite a bit. So Dan Uggla reaped the benefits of that.
Yeah, it happens in corporate all the time, too. They have that sales rep that closes that one big deal, and they can never repeat it.
So do you see – is that a problem in corporate America? Do you see that as an issue where people overreact to the one time?
Yeah, and then this is what it's all about anchoring, right? So that's the psychological thing. So we anchor. So you have this reputation, basically. We think, oh, that's like a quality brand or whatever. I mean, you could like Jaguar, right? Back in the day, Jaguar was a great car, and then like it's not that great anymore. You know what I mean? So this is how the human machine works. We tend to, you know, look at that one thing that sticks out in our mind. And so then, that availability of that, information, everything else seems to come after that. And we don't weigh it as heavy. So it happens all the time in corporate. It happens in school. It happens, in relationships, where I love that first love and they were awesome. And they remembered to bring you flowers and remembered your birthday. And then, a couple of years into it and they're not, it just happened.
That's very interesting stuff. I love that. The psychology of it is really cool too. Staying with that just for a second with that one time when is that a big problem? Do you advise people like, hey, you need to get rid of that guy because he's not going to do that again? Like, how would you advise a business or a college program or something that's kind of living in that nostalgia? How do you deal with it? Do you just let it ride out, or do you have to make some drastic changes?
No, it's track record. You have to slow everything down. You got to make sure that there's a track record, and it's got to be longer than just a quick flash. I mean, Johnny Manziel is another example, right? So he beats Alabama and now he's the awesomest thing ever, and he goes high in the draft. I mean, Hugh Freeze, he beats Alabama. He has a movie about him. Woo, you know. So, and that's really, we all fall prey to it, because if you're good at marketing and presenting that, you know, your successes, then however brief they are or just little snippets, you can turn that into, you could leverage it into really working people over, you know, mentally and emotionally, both.
Shifting gears just a little bit, and I think kind of maybe on this topic, in terms of, you know, you remember what you want to remember, you remember the good times, and we don't properly contextualize information. We talked about this yesterday with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, where Kyrie is essentially saying, you know, he feels like he's not getting enough credit, and I could certainly see his beef because LeBron has come in and basically done whatever he wants, and now LeBron's trying to get out, and Kyrie feels like he's not respected very much. People are saying if LeBron leaves, it's all going in the crapper. I mean, I wonder, is there some of that there where Kyrie could be looking at it saying, well, you know, I've been really good in these games, and I've been really good in these circumstances, and I play really well in this, and I can do it again. Could Cleveland fall into that if LeBron leaves in a sort of give everything over to Kyrie? What are your thoughts on that situation?
Oh, they totally could, but see, that then Kyrie's got to step up and make sure, you know, that he, you know, again, the track record. So he's got to produce on the field. So this is the whole, that's the breakdown between, you know, reputation and character, right? Or what your marketing and actually what your product is. And it falls all the way across. The same thing with relationships. It's in business. It's in sports. So if you're going to, you know, market yourself as that, then you have to produce. And so I want to see, as a critical thinker, slow my roll emotionally and let me see a track record over time and not get so, you know, we have to do it right now. And, you know, this microwave kind of mentality, drive-through mentality that's the American way ends up tripping us up.
Do you blame Kyrie for wanting to kind of be his own man and not wanting to sit in LeBron's shadow, or do you think that's misguided of him?
No, I don't blame him, but here's the thing. This happens a lot where, you know, you have a partnership or you're in, you know, an ensemble cast, TV, and you think you could go in a band, and then you think you're big enough to go out and go on your own solo, and then you find out that you were drinking your own Kool-Aid. Right, and then you can't make it on your own, and you're not the you know, the leading man, or you're not the, you know, the guy out front. It just doesn't work that, you know. And so some people, they get delusional and selfish about what they actually do produce as a product, and then the whole thing comes apart.
Visit with Andrew Whitman, GetWoreYourTough.com, the Get Where You're Tough program, the Get Where You're Tough media empire. Join us right now. Off of vacation. You know, rest is really good. I want to spend some time on this because this has been something I've tried to do better this summer. And you can say, like, if you're trying to rest, that's effort. Well, it's effort for me to relax. It's important, though, for high performers to know how to do that, right?
Extremely. And there was just a study that just came out. I think CNBC was running it, where they had 1,500 top-level managers evaluate their people. And by far, the people that are less stressed are the high performers. Like, it's over like 67% that they have less stress and they manage their work rest cycle. They're the high performers, which is, and you have to, I calculate my rest time. Because what happens is a lot of people, they're either stress monsters or they're couch potatoes. Well, you got to do both. You got to manage both sides of it to be a high performer, because stress is good. It makes you focused. But also it'll burn you out if you don't manage it properly.
Like, I know when we go on vacation, you can easily get stressed, especially when there's kids involved, when there's family involved, with, like, having to keep everybody straight and trying to manage everybody else's rest time and things like that. How do you guard against that?
All right, so listen, so we're driving to the beach, and we have two vehicles, and, you know, I'm driving with my son, and my wife is behind us, and the car breaks down that she's driving. Right, and we're in Clinton, so we're like an hour from everywhere, right? So now you could get stressed because now we got, like, it's a truck loaded with stuff. So literally within an hour and a half, nobody's panicking. We're not stressed out. You just, you know, you get on the app, you rent a car. We picked it up in Clinton. It was a minivan. We just went to the beach. We came back, dropped the rental car off at GSP. But so a lot of times that's mindset, though. So you could let it wreck your whole vacation. All it did is cost us an hour and a half. And it's literally how you think your thoughts. And are you going to be an emotional reactor or actually be a critical thinker and come up with a response and a plan that could solve whatever you're coming up against?
All right, before we let you go, one more for you, and I've got to ask you this. I thought we were going to leave this topic alone. I got to ask you this one. The social media hiatus from Clemson, all the backlash, I'll bet that you are a strong proponent of limiting distractions in this way, correct?
Absolutely love it. It's one of the greatest things that, and again, I have to remind everybody, every year, several years ago, it was the team that decided this. It was not the coaches saying, this is what we're going to do. The players said, we're going to limit our own distractions, and they came up with it. So I absolutely love that they're continuing on because it is paying off great results for them. I mean, really, who can argue with it? I mean, you see the meteoric rise of the program in the last 5 years.
There's absolutely no question. Can you get on Twitter and let Darren Revelle know, like on July 30th next year, so he doesn't tweet the same stuff out? For that he has the last 2 years?
As grandma would say, bless his darling heart.
Andrew Whitman, GetWarriorTough.com. Hey, what's the schedule for the launch of the syndicated program? What we got cooking in the Get Warrior Tough Media Empire this week?
Yeah, so I just was talking with our syndication rep. He's like, we're in the first 15 days right now. There's a 15-day window where they're revamping all the marketing. They're redoing the demo reels and all that stuff. So we can start sending it out to the affiliates. There's like 2,000 affiliates that they're, you know, that run their, you know, stuff
Sweet.
On Westwood One. So then we got to start, you know, getting programs directors and general managers to buy off on the running our stuff. So we're in that marketing window. So it'll be a little bit, before we know exactly how it launches and how many, you know, affiliates will start picking up weekly and it'll snowball. But I'll keep you in the loop, bro. I'll keep you in the loop.
Sounds good, and we know it's going to be awesome. Thanks so much, Andrew. We appreciate it. Enjoy your snap back to reality this week from vacation. Hope it was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Love you guys.
All right, right back at you, my man. That's Andrew Whitman from GetWarriorTough.com. Short break, final segment. We'll go to Hunter on the phones. We'll wrap up the ACC. We'll tease out what we're doing on tomorrow's show today. More on that when we come back next.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
Big O Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the motor mile.
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Monday's pizza and a pint build your own four-topping pizza for $9. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
One of college football's greatest traditions happens at every Clemson home game. The players run down the hill and into the valley, everyone rubbing Howard's Rock to the excitement of Clemson fans everywhere. What you wouldn't know is that Howard's Rock has its own security system from Blue Ridge Security Solutions. The Rock is worth protecting, and these are the same people that protect my home too. I'm Dabo Sweeney from Blue Ridge Security Solutions.
BlueRidgeSecuritySolutions.com. Serious security. 888-407-SAFE.
Rely on EnviroMulch, supplying quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. Their summer special, get double ground hardwood mulch for just $20 per yard ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch, go Tigers.
When playing football for Coach Sweeney, I learned the value of hard work and doing things the right way. My name is John Wright Jr., and now that I'm in the field of commercial real estate, I have the opportunity to apply those principles in my daily business. If you're in the market for buying, selling, or leasing property from office or retail to industrial or land, then let me know at McCoyWright.com. That's McCoyWright.com, where we will do our best to ensure your success. And remember, if it's not McCoyWright, it's not right.
Temperatures are on the rise, and now is the perfect time to make sure you're ready for summer's heat with a Coleman air conditioning system for your home. Known for rugged dependability and tremendous value, Coleman products stand the test of time. Plus, every Coleman unit is backed by industry-leading warranties. Call Roland Services and Tailors, your local Coleman dealer at 864-360-2822 for a free evaluation of your system. And learn how you can save up to 50% in energy costs this summer.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Out of Bounds is on the air.
Well, a hero's work is never done.
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Kwok and Kelly.
We can't play this anymore. I'll get my man card revoked saying stuff about Katy Perry. I love this song. I'm a big fan of Katy Perry. Sue me, take me to church, whatever. I like Katy Perry, especially this song.
You know why I can't like Katy Perry, right?
Because she's stealing Taylor's spotlight.
Her and Taylor have beef. So...
what is their beef over?
I can't
over?
Like Katy.
What do they have beef over?
There's a lot of stuff that's happened. We don't have enough time. There's beef.
There's beef? How long does this go back?
It goes back.
Mm-hmm. Katy's parents were like ministers and stuff. So like she's a PK. I'm a PK. We have a lot in common.
She took
a different
path than you, though.
I mean,
you're
yes,
both entertainers.
Did. Yes, she did.
Remember when Katy Perry...
like girls. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
She did the song. I can't. We have so much in common.
It's funny you say that because remember when she was on College Game Day?
Yes.
And she was wearing, I don't even know, it was ridiculous.
That weird polka dotted whatever.
Yeah, she was at Ole Miss. And she literally said to the camera, they're talking about Oklahoma, and she goes, "Who's that quarterback?" About Trevor Knight, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. And she told Trevor Knight to call her on College Game Day.
She was taking shots at a bar in Ole Miss that day, like
in
outrageous ways. Oxford. Yeah, not like you would in Oxford, though.
Should I
it
even say
Oxford.
This, but you think Hugh hung out
oh,
with
man,
Katy?
Come on. Was it in Tampa? Not unless, she,
no, but
not
I
unless
mean,
she was in Tampa.
It was, I mean, it was on the home turf. I mean, it was right there.
Oh, that's rough.
I'm just wondering.
Rough. Anyway, the I want to hear more about this T-Swift, Katy Perry beef at some point. Maybe
off
like
the air.
Part of the story every time we hear that rejoin.
I'll say one thing for you. Taylor's Bad Blood song is about Katy.
Ooh.
Just know that.
Okay.
So
see, I didn't know that.
There's, quote, some bad blood.
The performance of this, that song is like dark.
Oh, yeah.
That, it's good. It's good. This hour is brought to you by Crude LED. They're gonna hook you up with all kinds of great deals. I love what the folks at Crude LED stand for. Is there a business out there that doesn't like to save a little money where they can? They partnered with Duke Power Crude LED to do just that. All you got to do, take that Duke Power bill up to them. They're going to figure out what your business needs, and then they're going to rebate your purchase. Whether you need LED tomb lights, LED high bay fixtures, parking pole light fixtures, 6-inch down lights, whatever it is, they're going to significantly reduce the cost. Crude LED is going to pass on that rebate from Duke Power up front to you with a verification of that that Duke Power bill. Go online to crudeled.com or visit their office, 109 Interstate Boulevard in Anderson. That's right before J. Peters on exit 19B. Also, you can call them, 864-401-8506. Light your business in a better way with Crude LED. All right, let's go back to the Northern Communication phone lines. We've been talking ACC. We're going to put a bow on this in the next 10 minutes or so. Hunter in Greenwood is up with us. Hunter, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I've called in a few times. Just wanted to call in today. Y'all were talking about the Coastal Division. I want to put in a little prediction. Not really bold or anything with the Coastal being down, but I say Miami gets to their first ACC title game this year for the first time since joining us. Also, that Andrew guy, I don't know if he's looked into the new Jaguars. Those are actually very nice cars.
Yeah, they are rebounding company, you would say?
They're very rebounding. But also, like I said, Miami, I think, is in the Coastal. And to be honest, I think Clemson repeats. I think we beat FSU and then repeat and get into the ACC title game again. That's my bold prediction for the year.
That one's a little bolder than Miami.
Defense. Yeah, the Miami's not very bold with the Coastal being down, but the Clemson's bold. I'll stand by our defense. We'll be the Alabama last year. Not so great quarterback at first, but we'll ride it out with our defense.
Hunter, good stuff. Thanks for the phone call.
I'll leave y'all with that.
Appreciate it.
All right. You have a good day.
All right, you do the same. Hunter in Greenwood going bold with Clemson. Clemson-Miami. In the ACC championship. So, again, the ACC doesn't get the Florida State-Miami game. They've won it since 2003.
Which would be so cruel to the higher-ups in the ACC.
Poor guys.
It's bold. I mean, that's a bold prediction from Hunter and Greenwood. It's not as bold as one could possibly go. You know, maybe an NC State-Virginia Tech title game would be maybe as bold as you can go in with a realistic sense that it could happen. But at this point, with where Clemson is, can we do that? I mean, can we compare them to Bama and say, hey, look, we might not know our quarterback. We might not have a stability at quarterback for at least the first half of the year. But our defense is going to be so good. And our coaching staff is so good. And our program is so elite that we can say stuff like that. I mean, can you say that sentence? That Clemson will win the ACC championship again after losing its best player in school history because of its defense?
You could say it. There are a few people that said it at the ACC football kickoff that voted for Clemson to win
that
division.
Would you say it, Kwok?
No. I would not say it. But I wouldn't say it's not going to happen. I wouldn't exclude Clemson from the discussion there.
But we did. I mean, we did it with Bama, but it's still different because when Bama loses Jake Coker, okay, that's not the same thing as losing Deshaun Watson.
Correct.
And you replace him with Jalen Hurts, who many would argue was an upgrade anyway. So it's not like you were really losing a ton from your quarterback spot. You were gaining, really. And then you replace Derrick Henry with Bo Scarborough. Okay.
Who cares?
You know.
Exactly.
That's pretty much the same. So I do think that comparing it to Bama is not exactly a equal comparison, especially when it comes to quarterback. But, I mean, I think it's worth a discussion. Can Clemson sustain this loss because of how good the defense is and how elite the program is? This season will be very telling.
Here's a fun one. I can get behind a pulpit on this one. This is a great text right here.
Oh, no.
On the text line, 961-566. This is a great text. Well, a couple of great texts. I'm going to get to one of these in a second, and we'll get to the bottom four of the ACC. I don't understand why people think we can't make it back with the defense we have. Bama did. Best defense, maybe best wide receiver core in the country. Here's the difference between Alabama last year and Clemson this year. Peer group in the league. Alabama's conference last year was terrible. Who was as good as Alabama? Who was pushing Alabama? It was Alabama and the 13 Dwarves last year.
That sentence is tough for me to completely agree with, that the SEC was terrible. Say this sentence, though. SEC offenses were terrible. Yes.
Who was the second best team there? Who was the second best team in SEC last year?
Auburn.
Auburn? Clemson beat Auburn playing a horrible offensive game on the road in the opener.
I know. I mean, I'm with you. But still, the SEC had some elite defenses. LSU was still an elite defense. Florida was still a pretty darn good defense. They did not have elite offenses, though.
LSU, if LSU was your second-best team, they scored zero against Alabama and never even threatened to score. Like, I'm not even sure their offensive game plan included trying to score.
That game. God, don't bring that one up. That was the most boring football game I've ever seen.
Auburn, their offense scored 13 against Clemson, 16 against A&M. They scored 7 against Georgia, 12 against Alabama, 19 against Oklahoma.
Look, I get your point. I'm totally with you. I think the peer group discussion is a great argument because it does highlight Bama's defense is so good because they're great. They are, and they recruit.
They
five stars after five stars after five stars. They are an NFL pipeline. They're great. But also, you can't ignore the fact that the offenses they play week in and week out in the SEC are not very good.
Correct.
The offenses that you play in the ACC have a little more firepower, especially last year. Especially last year with Francois, Brad Kaya, Peterman, Jared Evans, Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell.
The Syracuse offense, right? I mean, these guys can score. They may not be very good teams and they may not have good defense, but they can score, and so it's a little more of a challenge for your defense week in and week out. And that's part of it, too, for this whole discussion is can Clemson beat Bama and get back? But I go back to the other point. Alabama did not have to take a significant step back on offense. They actually maybe got better last year. You can't say that for Clemson.
No, you can't say it for Clemson. My whole point is simply there was nothing blocking Alabama. There was no team at Alabama's level that could block Alabama from getting there. Florida State and Clemson are peers. You could put Louisville in that category if you want to. Some people would put NC State in that category. You might have people trying to edge Miami up there. I feel like Louisville and Miami are like in that next category personally, but there was no Florida State. There was no successor to Alabama. So Alabama's guy, like, gosh, you know, we're taking a step down, looking around going, oh, okay. Well, we take a step down. Who cares? Because there's nobody going to stop us. So we'll just win all our games again and go.
What do you think of this text from the 864? The problem comparing 2017 Clemson to 2016 Bama is the O-line and Bo Scarborough. We match up well with that Bama team other than those two big differences. I think that could be part of it. Now, Clemson's O-line has been ranked by a lot of people as a top 10 O-line this year. And I agree with
Clemson's
that.
O-line's really good.
And we don't know what Fuller's going to be or Feaster or Choice or the combination of all three. But I do think the running game has been able to sustain Bama, even through quarterback changes, even through managers at the quarterback position. The running game has always been their safety net, if you will. And I just don't know if Clemson has developed it, their running game, to that point yet to be able to rely on it year in and year out when you lose quarterbacks and when you have changeover.
Well, and they don't have a Gallman like Alabama has as another Henry. Like, they recruit Derrick Henry, and then they recruit the next Derrick Henry, and the next one, and the next one. They've been doing that. Clemson doesn't have the next Wayne Gallman waiting in the wings. So even if it is C.J. Fuller that has the great year or whatever, the things that Gallman brought to the table, they're just not going to do. There's going to be a drop-off of that position.
And wouldn't you say that is still maybe the one difference that we can point to between Clemson and Alabama right now is Alabama, the sustained pipeline of five stars and four stars that has been going on for 6-7 years. Clemson's been recruiting well. I mean, don't get me wrong, but have they gotten to that level yet where they just, I mean, literally there's no drop off every year, every year. I don't know if you can say Clemson is there yet. Could they get there? Sure. But that is another main difference. And so I think it's a good point from the texter about the O-line and the running back situation.
I agree. We've got 2 minutes to do the bottom four of the ACC.
That's all
and
we
wrap
need.
This up. That's all we need. Boston College. They were 6-6 last year, 2-6 in league. What you got, Kelly? Up, down, or stay the same? BC. You hate BC, don't you?
What about here's the exit? I don't know. I would say they're going down. I don't think BC's going to make a bowl game this year. I think this might be Adazio's last year. I mean, I like Harold Landry, but with how good that defense was, they still couldn't win games because their offense could not score, and their offense couldn't give their defense any rest. That defense was very good, but they still allowed 25 points per game.
If they don't win all four of their non-conference games, they're not going to a bowl game, and I don't think they are. I don't think they're going to win them all. So I'm going down and maybe fired for Adazio. Syracuse is next. Syracuse won 4 last year. They went 4-8, 2-6 in the league.
I think Syracuse will take a slight step up. Am I willing to say they will definitely win 6 games? I don't know if I can get there yet, especially because, I mean, they have three cupcakes in their first three games. So let's say they win all three of those. And then you have to find three more wins in that schedule. I'm not sure if you can. I see maybe the Boston College game at home and the Wake Forest game. That's five. But you got to go to Louisville, to FSU, to Miami, to NC State, to LSU. That's tough. So I think a slight uptick for Syracuse, but not much.
Slight uptick. I know it's a small sample size, but the smallest uptick in year two over Dino Babers is two games. Or of a Dino Babers coach team is two games. So I'm saying they win two more games because I haven't seen Dino Babers do worse than that.
So you're saying they make a bowl.
In his two previous stops. Yeah, they go to a bowl. 6-6. What about Duke? They were 4-8 last year.
They have to be a little better.
They got
to
be a little better.
They're not
going
to go 4-8 again, I would think. And they did show some promise when they beat UNC last year. Their schedule is unforgiving. It's definitely unforgiving. But I think a little bit of an uptick for Duke.
And what about Virginia, who went 2-10?
You got to be better than 2-10. Can they win three games on this schedule?
They could, but I...
Their first three, William & Mary, Indiana, Connecticut. Please beat those three, Virginia. I beg of you.
I could make the argument that they could win three games and still be relatively the same. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. 3-9 would be pretty much the same anyway.
We'll just say stability and maybe growth in year three for Mendenhall. We'll talk about what that means tomorrow. Also talk SEC and August.